Good morning, everybody. We meet in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, obviously, we're not meeting in the way that we were even a week ago. Here we are back to services online only. But one of the blessings of doing it this way is that we can have some music. And our opening hymn today is Before the Throne of God Above. Please do sing along.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is written on his hands. My name is hidden in his heart. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free.
To our time of news. One obvious piece of news to share is that we've taken the decision, and it's not a decision we took lightly, but we have taken the decision to suspend our services in person, at least for the next few weeks. Maybe till the end of lockdown, we'll be playing it on a week-by-week basis, but I don't think we're going to be able to meet together for several weeks to come. Please do watch this space. Of course, we're going to continue live streaming services here from our building on a Sunday morning, and those will be available on Facebook and YouTube throughout the week. But we're also having a Holy Communion service every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Please do email me if you would like to be involved in that. It's our news time, various items of news. I hope you've had a chance to look at the prayer sheet, items of news on the back. prayers and readings for every day of the week on the inside there. Some items of news certainly to share. One is that Stephen and Megan Walton have had a baby. This is little baby Owen, 8 pounds and 13 ounces, a big bouncing baby boy, mother and baby doing well. So we thank God for them. And then in other items of news, sadly, Gary Dyhouse, who was our architect for many years, has now passed away. And so our condolences to his family and more details of a funeral to follow, though that, of course, will be small. Any other news? I'm not aware of anything coming in on the stream, but if you've got a birthday this week, many happy returns. I can't get the birthday hat to you to wear, I'm afraid, but many happy returns when the day comes. One other item of news I see just looking on the back of the prayer sheet is that Kitty Evans has had a perforated ulcer. She's in Heartlands Hospital, so please do bring Kitty and all who are sick at this time into your prayers. So we're going to move on with our service now. We come before the Lord in confession. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. We keep some moments silence and then we pray our prayer of confession together. For all the times we have gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times when we have put ourselves before you and our service to others, Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we have been selfish with the things that you give us, Father, forgive us. You tell us to share. To follow you, to love others and to share with them, Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. Well, friends, some things that we know to be true, that God made all things, even us, out of love, but that human beings are fallen. We have gone our own way, willfully setting ourselves against him. But the good news is that God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to put all things right, to put us right. God who works in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, paid the price of our sins to set us free. The good news of Jesus to the people of God is that in Jesus we are set free to love and to serve. This is good news indeed. Well, we're going to have our reading. Amelia is going to read to us in a moment from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We continue to go through the parables in the Gospel of Matthew. And when Amelia has read, one of our preaching team, Richard, is going to be speaking to us about the reading.
Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burnt. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern, through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, I feel like I know this story Jesus tells. I feel like I've been in this parable myself. I love our garden, but we've never had much success with the vegetable patch. That's partly because we don't have much time to work on it, and partly because we lack some of the knowledge and skills needed, and partly because of the weed seeds that are lurking in the soil. So what happens is that we get enthusiastic, and we hoe and rake and clear the ground. We plant seeds, we wait, and we're disappointed, because the vegetables that we planted don't really grow in the way we'd hoped, but a bunch of other things, a bunch of weeds, grow up among them as well, or perhaps instead. And as Jesus points out in his parable, if you try to pull up the weeds, you run a very real risk of pulling up the plants that you did want as well. Only actually the man in the story has it worse than we do. I may have problems in my vegetable patch, but I don't have someone intentionally coming into my garden to sow weed seeds. For the man in the parable, it's not just a problem about lack of time or skill or resources. This man has an enemy who's trying to prevent him from growing his good crop of wheat by deliberately planting weeds alongside what the landowner has sowed. At least that's not happening in my garden. If it was, I mean, I wonder what I would do. Put up some closed-circuit TV cameras, maybe? Try and catch the enemy? Try to dig out the weeds and damage the crop I was growing in the process? Or just give up in despair? The man in the parable is clear about his strategy. He lets everything keep growing, mixed up together, until it is harvest time. But Jesus isn't telling this story because we need a gardening lesson. That's not the point. There is a point to the story, and just a little bit later in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. So when you get home, you are home. When I get home, when you reach the end of this service, do have a read of Jesus' explanation of the parable and check what I say against what Jesus says it all means. As Jesus explains it, this parable is telling us something about why there is evil in the world, why good and evil are mixed up in the world today. If God is king of the universe, then why do bad things happen? And why do bad people get up to bad stuff in the world and even in the church? And Jesus' message is that God's judgment is delayed because God cares so much for his people. Jesus explains that the field in the parable represents the world, the whole world. That the sower represents Jesus himself. That the good seed represents what he calls the people of the kingdom. And that the weeds represent the people of the evil one. Now here's an interesting thing. Did you notice how Jesus describes the two sets of people? He doesn't describe what they do now. He doesn't call them good people and bad people in this explanation of this parable. He describes who they belong to. The people of the kingdom. The people who belong to Jesus, who acknowledge Jesus as their king. And the people of the evil one, who reject King Jesus. And I think that's because we are all changing, growing, developing. What you and I are like now is not how we will be forever. We are changing, we are developing. Hopefully, we're maturing, we're improving as God works in us through his Holy Spirit. And in the parable with the seeds, good and bad, growing together in the field, it's not easy to work out in the early stages of growth which is which. You can only tell by waiting. And by the time you can tell, you can't really pull them apart. The man's servants come to him. They're dismayed by what they see in his field, and they ask if they should start pulling up those weeds, and that's a natural reaction. But the owner wisely says no. At this point, the wheat and the weeds are really thoroughly mixed together. There will be just no way for those servants to pull up only the weeds without accidentally pulling some of the wheat as well. And this landowner, he really, really cares for his crop. He doesn't want to lose any of it, even one ear of his good crop that got discarded by accident would be a tragedy for him. And that's why he makes his decision as to what to do in that way. He lets them grow together until harvest time. So good and evil in this world, they're jumbled up together because he is delaying judging the world intentionally so that all his people can reach maturity, so that people, as many as possible, can come to hear about Jesus, to trust in him, to understand what he has done by dying the death we deserved and rising to give us his new life. Jesus wants people to change and mature and be ready when he comes again. He doesn't want to lose any of his people. When we look at ourselves now, if I had a mirror here, I would see what I look like now. I'd see what I am now. But we can change and grow, thank God. You remember how, when he explains the parable, I said Jesus doesn't talk about good people and bad people, but about who we belong to, because that's what will actually matter. If you are a Christian now, then hopefully there are signs of God changing you by his Holy Spirit, but that's a constant process. We're not what we were before we trusted in Jesus. But we don't instantly become perfect when we trust in Jesus. So the question I have is, what are you growing into? What am I growing into? When the harvest time comes, what will we look like then? If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, then there is still time. He died and rose again to save you from all the wrong you have done and will do. Trust in him. Let him start to change you from within. And be glad. Be glad, all of us, that God cares so much for his people that he is delaying his judgment, because he does not want to lose any of his people. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. And we have our prayers of intercession. These are going to be led today by Miriam.
Hello, everyone. We're going to spend some time in prayer and reflection now. There will be responses in our prayers, which are, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for speaking to us through your word, the Bible, this morning. We pray that your Spirit will be working in our hearts to help us respond wisely to what we have heard and grow in our understanding of you. Please help us to apply what we have heard to our lives today. Thank you that we are still able to meet in person. Please send your spirit to guide everyone in the leadership team here at Elmden Church as they make decisions about service format and how best to keep people safe. Help us to have patience, to preach the word faithfully, and find creative ways to continue in your work of discipleship and evangelism. We pray for the new Connect groups and for the crafts and resources shared with children and families. May you use all of these things for your glory and for the building up of your church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our partners, Gift and Catherine Asiku, and their work with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Uganda. Thank you that they have been able to continue their translation and marriage counselling work throughout the pandemic, and that they have remained healthy during this time. Please continue to facilitate the ongoing translation work in Uganda, despite logistical barriers such as not having good internet access or sufficient laptop charging points. Please give the team wisdom for the new projects that they want to begin working on this year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world and the chaos we are often seeing in the news. We pray for the government response to the riots at the US Capitol and the impeachment of Trump. In a country where so many call themselves Christian, Lord, may you be at work in the hearts of people across the United States. May truth and love reign, and may the power of this country be used for good and for your glory. May they set an example of how reconciliation, compassion, and understanding are possible between people of different political views. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we pray for children and families. God, there are great demands on parents and carers at the moment, needing to balance homeschooling as well as their own work. Please give energy and patience to parents in this position. Please enable good communication between teachers and parents, setting helpful expectations and providing encouragement. We pray for families who are struggling and vulnerable and feeling desperate in the face of another lockdown. Please guide the government as they make decisions about free school meals provision and funding for things such as laptops. Thank you for the amazing work of Christian charities such as CAP, TLG and Home for Good. Please continue to work through them and your church across the country to bring light where there is darkness, hope where there is despair, and friendship where there is loneliness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
So we continue in our prayers, saying together the prayer that Jesus taught his people to pray, the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we come almost to the end of our service. Just a reminder that we are meeting at 4 p.m. this afternoon on Zoom. This is for Holy Communion. Please do bring the things that you will need to that service with you. And if you want to be part of that, please do send me an email, rector@elmdenchurch.org, and we'll make sure that you're on the list. Also for children and for young people, our craft packs are available as usual today, and we'll be happy to deliver those to you. So if you haven't told us already, please do drop us an email. You can email me or you can email contact@elmdenchurch.org. Tell us that you'd like one or however many you need, and we'll be really happy to drop those round to you. And then please do take a photo. We'd love to have those up on our Facebook page over the course of the week. Our final song today, please do join in at home, sing with joy in your hearts, is 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like
now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, friends, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.